Yo, man, we are live, yo. 79th and Hollis preseason recap pod, man. Bears Chiefs is in the books. Bears actually won 19-14. Of course, your boy Scott and Flows. We are here live from the Soldier Field press box. So I don't know. How you feeling after this win?
It's a preseason game. I don't really necessarily care. I think one of the best things about it is we got to see some nice play calling. Outside of that, it's kind of unimportant to the grand scheme of things. The preseason isn't going to go toward the season stats. Trevor Siemian dicing up the defense isn't going to go toward anything. But
The start Simeon campaign.
I think the real cool thing is just seeing the offensive scheme in action. Of course, it's preseason. Since it's preseason, it's going to be a condensed version of the playbook. You're not going to have something enormous because it just would be unreasonable. Well, not enormous, but you wouldn't have the whole playbook because that would just be unreasonable. Same goes for the Chiefs. Same goes for the Bears or any other team that's playing. Like right now, the Bills and the Colts are playing. You're going to see, I don't know, a very limited amount of what their scheme is about. What I did like today was I like the use of the reverses, the end arounds. That seemed really cool because they worked. They came at the situationally the right time. If it's one thing the Bears struggled with in the past under different regimes is trying to do, I don't even like call them trick plays. It's just like calling them these cute little plays because that's all they are. They're nifty plays and they wouldn't work. They would be snuffed out. It's like third and long. Okay, since it's third and long, let's do a reverse. Like I see that coming, and so it doesn't make sense to do that. So now in this situation, it was pretty cool. I really liked it.
We're not our usual loud selves today because we're in the press box and other people here, other publications doing their work too. So we're not gonna be super loud. But I was actually pleased from what I saw today, from what you can take from preseason game. Now, granted, the starting offense didn't look, as great as it probably could have. It had a lot of three and outs. The offensive line had troubles. But I think for, the short time he was in there, I think Justin only had like what, 17 snaps? I think he threw the ball like nine times. It wasn't that much. I think he looked good in the time that he played. I mean, even through all the pressure, he got off a big third down pass to Tajae Sharpe, who has had a great camp, especially this week that I've been there. I've seen him, put a lot of plays off, man. So it was good to see him out there today having a good game. Massive play. I think it was like a 26 yards third down conversion to Darnell Mooney. And they just have a chemistry that I feel like it's going to be something we're going to see all season between them two. And it was just fun to see that. And just it was a perfect ball, and it was also a perfect catch. But the thing that kind of stood out the most to me, and I said this in our post-game field video, which we'll be dropping tomorrow, if y'all want to check that out, was the Poles draft class actually performing. You know what I'm saying? Like Jaquan Brisker, I feel is going to be a guy. He was all over the field today. Could have had an interception. Dominique Robinson had what, like a sack and a half today. He was all over the field. Trestian Ebner, he was great. And how can we forget about who's my man? I
Jack
forgot.
Sanborn.
Yeah, Jack Sanborn, or as our Twitter followers called him, Jack Singletary. Jack Buckus. He was great. He had an interception, had a fumble recovery, and so you're really kind of seeing, I can't remember the last time we've seen a draft class. Now, granted, it's preseason. It's not like they're making plays in week one. I understand that, but we can only go off what we saw today. I can't remember the last time we saw a draft class come in and make plays right away. You know what I'm saying? And also something that stood out to me, I thought Tevin Jenkins was pretty solid today.
Yeah, he had a few, I'm going to say rough patches, but it took him a minute to adjust and to really perform at a higher level. You see him adjusting to the pace of everything. You see him adjusting to his blocks. And there were a few where he just looked like the potential that you wanted from him. The reason that he was drafted by the previous regime. So, I don't know. It's interesting when you look at the Bears draft picks in 2022. I'll go over them briefly. So, pick 39, Kyler Gordon. Pick 48, Jaquan Brisker. Pick 71, Valus Jones. Pick 168, you had Braxton Jones, who's OT from Southern Utah. Pick 174, Dominique Robertson. He's went to Miami, Ohio. used to be a quarterback in high school, then converted to receiver, then an edge rusher. Zach Thomas guard, Tristan Ebron running back, Doug Kramer, notably center from Illinois, Ja'Tyre Carter, Elijah Hicks, and Trenton Gill, kicker from NC State. And out of all of those players, and of course, Jack Sample, who we talked about, Jack Singletary, is a undrafted rookie who was signed. And he came out of, I can't remember what, Jack Sample went to Lake Zurich High School. So he is, I don't know if that's necessarily Chicagoland, but he's within the area. But he went to Wisconsin, so he's a Big Ten man. But seeing these draft picks play out, like, who did I just mention? Trenton Gill had some phenomenal punts. Of course, with the loss of Pat O'Donnell, who went to the team that shall not be named, that team,
that up team north. Up north.
And then you have Tristan Ebner, running back out of Baylor, who not only has some phenomenal runs, he really did good on special teams, making some very, very nice cuts, taking what was given, finishing the runs, which was the biggest thing, because I was talking to Herb Howard of the Bigs earlier, and we were watching Khalil Herbert. It's a nice little gain. I'm going to want to say the gain of six outside for a zone play, and as he's running, he didn't finish the run. He tried to make a couple cuts, and it's like he wanted to get that big gain.
Right.
A great block on the outside by Tajay Sharp. In that situation, finish the run, make contact. And so it was good to see Tristan Ebner in the position that he was playing most of the second half, finishing the run. Move up to Dominique Robinson. This is a player with a lot of upside, but he has not had the opportunity to be an edge rusher for that long. But you see him with that sack, and he shoots out like a cannon. Once you realize
he got crazy athleticism.
Once he realized he's past the defense, he's past the offensive line. He realized, okay, now we have the running back right here who can get a chip block or who can block me fully. But I'm going to use my speed and athleticism to directly get to the quarterback, running south directly to the quarterback. It was a beautiful play. So seeing him work was great. Bryson Jones, I think, looked really, really good today. Stood out. Of course, this is a makeshift line because Lucas Patrick is going to be out for some time. I'm not sure when he'll return. But not having Lucas Patrick, of course, is something you have to deal with. And then, of course, you're still trying to find out your opposing right tackle. Some people, like myself, wonder, would Tevin Jenkins improve, get better to the point where, okay, now he's back and he can start at the tackle position. So dealing with that and that really makeshiftness of that line was – interesting, but he still held his own. Jaquan Brisker, I couldn't say enough about
dog, him. Dog.
You know what I'm saying? I couldn't say enough about him. He looked great. I think the best thing about it was his play recognition. He read the quarterback. He stayed within his zone, reading the field, and said, oh, okay, I see where you're going. And so there was a situation where tight end is running a post route. Tight end comes to the zone. Immediately, Jaquan's not covering grass. He's finding the man who's in the zone. Finds him, cuts him off, pushes him off and lets the safety take him over. Now, once that happened, he sees a running back coming over the middle. He realizes this is still my zone. The tight end's out of my zone. I'm going to pass him off and I'm going to find him. Could have gotten that pick, could have gotten several. So his natural football IQ and that play recognition was just phenomenal. Of course, Kyler Gordon didn't play, but I'm looking forward to him coming back to practice, first and foremost. Yeah. I'm looking for Valus Jones coming back to practice.
Flew said on Thursday that it's not serious. He said both him, Demo, and Valus are day to day. So I'm pretty sure they're just going to go through the motions. Like, maybe they play next week. And same thing with Lucas Patrick. I think Lucas Patrick is going to be cutting it close to the actual opener. You know what I'm saying? But I think when it comes to that, I think Tevin Jenkins has got to be in there just off pure talent. You know what I'm saying? Like, just to see what he can do. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to our man, Alex Flores, in the comments. You mean to tell me our GM might have not only got our late round picks right, but the early ones too? I mean, we'll see.
It's a very low bar.
It's very low. Like, there was stuff in there. Like, I was like, wow, the play is getting in before 10 seconds left on the clock. Like, it's little stuff that we shouldn't really be, like, that enamored with. But that's just how bad it was. And yeah.
It's like when you're looking at someone like Jack Sanborn, you're not looking at him like, oh, man, this is the guy who can play right out the next. No.
Exactly.
Who can play next to Roquan. Not saying that's not possible. Anything's possible. But right now, you're dealing with Morrow, Roquan gets a contract. You're looking at Roquan as the two starters. And right now, depth chart wise, I wish I had one. I do have one. So the Chicago's depth chart. Yeah, you got Morrow, and then It depends. Joe Thomas is pretty much probably your the designated person to start number 45. But, you know, I'm looking more Sanborn as because he made two tackles on special teams, two really good tackles. And I think it's really thing I like about today was solid tackling. Bears have struggled with tackling since the latter part of the Lovey era.
Since Lovey era, that's what I was about to say, yeah.
I said the latter part.
Latter part, not the glory days of the Lovey era.
The glory days.
The Mel Tucker days.
2005 and 6, I thought, you know, they were the best tacklers in the league.
Yeah.
If Briggs or Urlacher had you on the edge, they're going to tackle you. But then when you got around 2009, it's like they couldn't get a tackle to save their life. It just continued with every single coach. It didn't stop. Whether it was John Fox, whether it was Mark Trestman, whether it was Matt Nagy, they couldn't tackle. Now, this is preseason, but what I liked is the intensity stayed up, and they made tackles. So when there was someone, of course, the wedge isn't exist anymore. When there was someone coming up the middle shooting a hole on kick return, and they were in an island by themselves, they broke down, made a tackle. That was phenomenal. And Jack Sadmore had quite a few of those. So I think he has 7 tackles total. If you count, of course, what he did on special teams and defense, a tackle for loss, a fumble recovery, and interception. That's someone like, get him on special teams, get him somewhere. And it's not to say that he can't go farther. But just based off what I can tell reality, I'm looking forward to hopefully him getting a nice roster spot and making an impact on special teams. So, yeah, it's really a low bar to sit there and say, wow, man, look at what we're doing on – what they're doing with these draft picks. And, you know, it stresses the importance of – it's one thing that I disliked about the Ryan Pace era. And this is not to shoot on Ryan Pace because I've only had positive interactions with him. But he really went for that best player available mentality.
Yeah.
And I think that's stupid. You know, if, like, imagine if I had Patrick Mahomes and I had a quarter, and I ended up with the number one pick, and the best players are 3 quarterbacks, a defensive end, and a wide receiver. Those quarterbacks could be some of the greatest ever. They could be another Patrick Mahomes. This defensive player could be the next Ray Lewis. But that wide receiver, who can be really good, is also available. If I have the other two covered, quarterback and linebacker,
you get the wide receiver.
Cool. I'm going to get the wide receiver. You're not going to go best player available. You're going to play scheme. You're going to play personnel fit. So I never understood that philosophy. It really confused me. And so seeing polls drafting players and selecting and signing players who fit the needs of the team was really cool. And if it's one thing the Bears need is a preseason hero every year. What did you call it, Scott?
The Tanner Gentry Award.
The Tanner Gentry Award is hilarious. Yeah. The Tanner – or if the, to take it back, the freaking Chris Leak Award. And if you remember Chris Leak, he used to play for Florida. I remember one preseason game, he just went crazy for no reason. And my mind as a younger kid was like, oh, I want a kid. I was like my 20s, I think. Was I my 20s? I think I was.
It was about 10 some years ago.
Chris Leak is 37. He was he came with the Bears preseason 2007. No, I was 16.
So yeah. You 16, yeah.
I was 16 years old. I was like, oh, this is the quarterback we've been waiting for. Like, you know, that type of foolish thing.
How bad is it? We was hoping Chris Leak would be that. Chris Leak.
I know. But the Bears always need a preseason hero. Always. Always, even if they don't make the team, you need a preseason hero.
Yeah.
I'm gonna call it the Chris Leak Award. It's the Chris Leak Award.
The Tanner Gentry Award might be better.
It's the Chris
because he did it for multiple preseasons.
That's true.
My thing is this: like, and you asked Floos this in the post game about building the culture, building the effort. The defense, really more the second string defense, it was just like all over the field. Like it was a different intensity that I haven't seen. On one of our followers tweeted, he said, even flew CTE ball back, which is kind of funny. But, you know what I'm saying? I think what we're seeing is even Floos and Poles are trying to build a new culture. You know what I'm saying? And this type of stuff don't happen overnight. And like I told one of my friends this week is, I'm not saying it's going to work. We got to see if it's going to work. But it's going to take a minute. This team was not in a great position last year. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, even when we were at the draft this year, and we was like, he should have went wide receiver. And I still think he should have went wide receiver, but people forget how bad the secondary was last year. Like it was god awful. So yeah. For you to go out there and get two day one starters in Kyler Gordon and Jaquan Brisker, we saw what Jaquan looked like today. Now it just matters when Kyler's out there. He's out there with Jalen. You got Brisker with Eddie. I think that could be the strength of this team. And you got like Nicholas Morrow, who is extremely fast. Like the dude is super fast. And when Roquan eventually does come back, because I do think eventually will come back, even though the whole thing is kind of like it's like the elephant in the room right now, like because he's still here. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like he's MIA from the team. He participated in pre-game warm-ups. He was on the field, on the sideline the entire game. So, yeah. You know what I'm saying? So, that's the whole thing with that. And, you know, I'm not going to get into specifics about contract, what he deserves, what he should not deserve. I'm not going to tell nobody. I'm not going to tell a grown man what they think they deserve, especially in this type of game. Get all the money you can. But he really has no leverage in this particular situation. But I do think eventually he will join the team. Because eventually I think they will start finding him if something doesn't work. And $30,000 for two missed practices is still $30,000.
Yeah, you can say, oh, he's, you know, he got a lot of money. That's still a lot of money.
He's on the rookie deal. So
I don't care if I was Elon Musk. I'm getting fined $30,000. I'll be like, that's a little bit of money.
Right.
So it's always on the tip of my, always on the my mind. I'm like, I don't want to pay that. And also, I want to give a shout out. I had to look up his number. Devontae Harris on defense. We were crying. There was a pass that was intended for one of the Chiefs receivers, and he did that typical cornerback running on the field. Me and Herb would look at each other like, and I looked at you. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
He didn't even influence the pass. I'm sorry.
Corners love to
go like and run on the field.
You know who we also got to give some love to? Yeah. Dazz Newsome. Dazz Newsome started off the game terribly, but he came back was like, nah, I'm making this roster, bro.
A muffed return.
Yes. And he was like, nah, I'm getting on this roster, man. Great return. Had some great catches. You know, touchdown from Trevor Siemian. By the way, QB controversy. No, but Siemian looked good. And it's one thing that I saw that was different, just the whole game. And I'm going to keep saying it, it's preseason. So I'm not saying this is going to be the norm. But Lou Getsy's play calls, I enjoyed them. Yeah, I enjoyed them.
I enjoyed that.
It made a lot of – you know, it was different from what we've seen. And especially when the culprit of that was on the other side of the field in Matt Nagy. But it was just – for a preseason game, man, I enjoyed it. You know what I'm saying? It was good to see the whole team get involved. And, you know, I feel like, you know, this team, maybe depth-wise, we might be, you know, underrating – how good it could be depth-wise. And then also, we got to also look at it like this. Number one, you brought up Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes is still going to be Patrick Mahomes. A lot of people are talking crazy about the Chiefs this offseason. I don't know why. I saw him breeze down the field for that touch. He just makes the game look so easy. So the Chiefs
I think the thought was that, okay, you're losing someone like Tyreek Hill, and the fact that he got the defense so open and – not the defense so open. The fact he got so open on the field and that he stretched the defense. So if you see him about to go on a go route, you have the corner, you have the safety thinking, oh my goodness, we need to get him. You know, I need to go over top. I need to make sure that I'm giving him a little bit of room so I can be able to chase him. And you think with him losing that it would make them worse. But then you realize he's good because Patrick Mahomes is good.
That's
now,
what I'm saying.
Tyreek Hill can still be a great player. This is not to doubt him. But it's also to know that Patrick Mahomes is a good player.
Tyreek Hill is going to miss Patrick Mahomes more than Patrick Mahomes is going to miss Tyreek Hill. Tyreek's going to burn these corners in the AFC East. Going to be wide open and wonder why Tua can't get the ball to him. But this is like the reason if you're a Bears fan, you shouldn't be like too upset about the starting offense early. One, Justin had none of the starting wide receivers out there except for Darnell Mooney. Two, a lot of the offensive line, like we said, are missing guys. You know what I'm saying? Who will eventually, you know, even Riley didn't play today. So there's like a lot of guys who are going to be starting this offensive line who didn't play. David Montgomery did not play. And also, this is a team they're going against who is a Super Bowl contender. You know what I'm saying? If you look at the Bears roster, I mean, the Bears schedule, they playing a lot of bad teams and shit. You know what I'm saying? So it's not going to be – it's going to look better than what it was. But what did you think – how do you think Flus looked in his first game as a coach? I know that was the main topic of his post-game today. But how did you feel Flus looked?
Well, you know, if it's one – it's a little bit different in this situation because the Bears for the past – how long was that get coached? 4 years?
4 years. Five?
The past 4 years dealt with the head coach who was the play caller. And so you could be a lot more critical – your first thought is, here goes the play call. Here goes the play call. I didn't like that. I thought this was bad. This, that, and the third. Now with Eberflus, you're looking at a coach who is not the play caller. That's Getsy. Now, of course, they're still all working together. They're working through their plays, progressions. But Getsy is the play caller. Alan Williams controls his own defense. And so what you're looking for the play, what you're looking for the head coach, unfortunately, which I hate using the word, is collaboration. How is he collaborating with his coaches? How is he setting up his coordinators to be successful? How is he helping them with personnel on the field? How does he look when he has to pay attention to the field, operate correctly, and then like, or challenge a call? And what did he do when he challenged a call? He made it correctly. It was a great challenge. And the first thing I thought is, we got him. We got the coach. He just got a great challenge. He just converted it. He just got a play call reversed. He's the greatest coach ever because that's how low the bar was. So I like the way that he said operationally. Operationally, I thought he did. He was efficient, but it's hard to judge a coach who the duties of everything goes to their coordinators. It's like Andy Reid with the everyday game. You realize and the enemy's calling the plays. Andy Reid has, of course, the final say. So I don't like this play. This happens. I want to make an adjustment. This happens. And so you really have to look more at the record, how the players acted, the discipline. No real stupid penalties today.
That was new.
You know, players got in the huddle on time. No delay of games. A lot of delay of games last season. Getting to the ball. Getting to the huddle. Getting to the line fast. Maintaining discipline. And when you take all that into account, I'd have to give him an A today. I'd have to give him an A, absolutely. You know, and if we're sticking with grading, I'd have to give the whole team an A-. I would give an A to the defense, specifically that second unit.
Second unit. Balled out, man.
The second unit just started clamping. If it was a second universe, second unit in every game of the year, in every team, I would probably choose the Bears to go 17-0 in the regular season. And then the first team offense, even though they didn't convert for a touchdown, I would still have probably give them a B- because I thought, you know, they're down several players. But when the plays need to be made to someone like Darnell Mooney, to Tajae Sharpe, it was like that. Justin knows he's one-on-one. I'm going to take advantage.
I feel like Justin is, like, way more confident. Like, you just telling his body language.
Yeah, remember, that's what we talked about.
We talked about that in the postgame, yeah.
In the postgame, I said, you know, you talked about being more comfortable. I was like, was last year uncomfortable? What's the difference? And he just realized that he is within the rhythm of everything so much more easy. And he didn't have to worry about, okay, I have to do this, I have to do that. He said, you know, it was tough for him to adjust because he wasn't in the NFL before. Now it's his first year. And I really liked, you know, as Alex Flores said, seeing Getsy on the sideline. I don't know why I like that. I like coordinators on the side.
Because like you said, collaboration. It's different when you can just walk over after a play and your OC is over there. Yeah, I didn't like what we did right there. You know, what'd you think about this? Can we correct this? And that's not to say that Getsy's going to be all season. Even just no. In the postgame, it wasn't nothing else planned.
It was Janico. Forgive me if I was wrong. The QB coach name. I forgot his total name. But Janico of his name?
Yeah, Janico, I think.
He was in the box, and Getsy was on the sideline. Now, they may flip. At least that's what he alluded to. I think we can agree that he alluded to that. Basically, they may flip, but it was good to see a coordinator on the sideline.
Yeah,
it was good to see them talking on the sideline. Me personally, if I was a head coach, I want my coordinators on the sideline. Get the defensive line coach, the offensive line coach, the QB coach, wide receiver coach, have them in the box. But I want the coordinators on the sideline down there in the mud with them. That's just my personal thoughts. That doesn't make it correct. But that was really cool to see. And it's a shame that the bar for all these things is astronomically low.
I'll say this, though, man. Like, you know, I'm not sure about a lot of things in life, especially when it comes to this franchise that, you know, we love so much and have the pleasure of covering. But one thing I am sure of, Justin Fields is going to be a guy. This is like the more time passes, the more I see him, seeing him in practice, this dude is going to be the one. And this season, this year, I think people severely – we can talk about the wide receiver core. It's not the best. Even when healthy, it's not the best. And they probably need one or two more guys even just this season. But the scheme is going to help him out tremendously. And if he can play well, have a good season with this core of wide receivers, the sky's the limit. And we walked in here. We walked in the front coming to the Soldier Field today. I've been in training camp all week. I have seen 85 to 90% of jerseys I've seen have been Justin Fields jerseys. If he reaches that potential, this dude is going to run this city. And it's not hyperbole to say, I think it's going to be Michael Jordan-like. And that's even without winning a Super Bowl. You know what I'm saying? And this city is ready for it. And I am very – you know who I'm going to compare this year to? Now, I'm not saying they're going to match this team, obviously. This team is playing a lot more. If this team can be fun and have the youthful energy of this year's Baltimore Orioles, I take that as a dub.
I think so, too. I – overall with preseason, I don't like to take too much from it.
You can't take too much from this preseason.
Because, like, if this was a disastrous 42-0 game,
it wouldn't have meant nothing.
It wouldn't have meant nothing. If they blew them out 42-0, it would have meant nothing. Well, nothing is a stretch semantically. It would not have meant a lot. So if there's a scale, 1 to 10, this being 10, this being 1, this is the importance level.
Right.
This is it. It's more so not the score, but this is that it says Flew said operationally. How do they look operationally? And from there, I was very pleased. Just discipline is just something to me that's simple. It's very, very simple. But
yeah,
sometimes for some reason with players, it's easier said than done. So I was happy to see it be successful. Yeah, it was really, really, really the small things that the Bears have struggled with for over a decade. And I remember reading an article, not an article, but a thread by Jack on, if you all follow Jack on Twitter, that's just was said that within the rivalry of the NFC.
At Reed Jack, by the way, follow him.
The Bears are more Lions than they are Packers. Seeing how they've played, the championships they've made, NFC championships, the Super Bowls they haven't won since 95. There's a point where the Bears were ahead in the Packers rivalry. That's gone. There's almost a 30-game swing. Seeing the single-digit win seasons, seeing the lack of double-digit win seasons, the Bears, and in those moments, the biggest things were glaring. But it's the small things that they couldn't even do right. And if you're trying to instill a culture, you have to do the small things first. When we're talking about practice and repetition, if you practice it slow, then you speed up the tempo, the repetition. And if you can do both things, if you can get it slow, you can master it fast. And so when it comes to instilling that culture on the smallest levels, if you can get them to recognize, to play, to think with their minds more, to be able to not let their emotions get the best of them while they're playing, and then that helps them produce more on the field, then I think you can be a better ball club. Now, after that happens, you need to get more personnel. The Bears, wide receiver corps, I think I'm interested in Velus. I want to see what he does.
Yeah.
I think Darnell Mooney's going to have a 1,200-plus yard year. I'm not concerned. Like when Justin,
you play fantasy football, draft Darnell Mooney.
When Justin was asked about Darnell, he was like, that's routine.
Yeah.
It's like, we do this. And in a league where wide receivers who are shorter are getting more looks and attention than before, that's pretty cool. You know, someone like what's his name from the Rams?
Cooper Kupp.
Not a tall receiver, but he's arguably the best in the game.
Yeah.
And right now it's more about, can you get open? Before it's like, we need somebody 6'3", 6'4", get up and go, you know, get up and go over the defense to maul somebody. Now it's like, man, can you get open? And so with Darnell Mooney doing what he does, if Velus Jones can be good, I think the Bears have a good start to build on a wide receiver room for next season.
Yeah, it's just really right waiting. Now,
unless Byron Pringle just surprises me.
It's really a wait and see, man, because, you know, like we said, like the polls picks played pretty well today. So now we got to see what Velus Jones can do, what Kyler Gordon can do. I mean, Byron Pringle had the most touchdowns for a wide receiver last year for the Chiefs. Now, of course, we know Travis Kelce was number one, but as far as the actual wide receiver core, he's number one. So I'm just really interested to see what this team is going to look like. Like this week at camp, I'm looking to see if any intensity ramps up. You know what I'm saying? I'm looking to see, does Velus and Kyla and Demo, Cole Kmet, are they going to practice this week? There's no danger of them missing week one from what we heard Coach say this week, but I want to see if we're going to see them on Thursday in Seattle. But to wrap this one up, our next podcast will obviously be our 200th episode, which will be Thursday at Haymarket Pub and Brewery. We should have a video for y'all. I don't know if we're going to have the audio up, but we should have video for those who can't come to the event. But I would be, I would come to the event. I'm just gonna say that I would come to the event. Monday I'm gonna drop the special t-shirt that we're gonna have for sale only at the show. It says Haymarket Pub and Brewery in the West Loop in Chicago. Doors open at 5:30. Come through, check out your boys, watch the live show, get something to drink, play a raffle, all that good stuff, man. Is there anything else you want to talk about before we get up out of here and go home?
I'm ready to sleep, so no.
I am too. So I'm sleepy and I'm hungry. But you know,
also I'm ready to see the Mitchell Trubisky show later on.
They play tonight?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So we got the Steelers play the Seahawks tonight. So you know what I'm saying? We're gonna see that. You know to follow us on Twitter at Barbershare Scott, at Flo Zandolini, at Barbershare Net.
That starts in 30 minutes. We need to hurry up.
Patreon.com/ Barbershare Network, thebcnet.com. Yeah, man. So we'll holler at y'all, man. We are out live from Soldier Field.